Attention Steeler fans, it will be Justin Fields week two against the Denver Broncos. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you. Steelers on the road in Denver, and this was supposed to be the big showdown, Perloff, Russell Wilson against a former team, coach that gave up on him, team that's taking on this massively large dead cap hit just to get him out of town, then drafted his replacement, all the drama. But it's actually going to be Justin Fields because Russell Wilson is not healed from that calf injury. And if you ask Mike Tomlin, who, shocking, is playing this pretty close to the vest, not ready to commit that Russ would actually get the job when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is they could go 3 weeks without getting an offensive touchdown and still be 3-0 because this is Mike Tomlin's dream, and you know this.
18-10?
Yeah, oh my God, 18-10 is going to be on his gravestone. He's probably thrilled about this, Silas. Sometimes I wonder, does it matter? That's where I am right now with the Justin Fields, Russell Wilson thing. I'm not sure it matters.
Is there anything that Justin Fields can do to actually win this job?
Yeah, be a better quarterback.
Well, but I think there's a question of, does it matter, right? Like, could he go out and throw for four touchdowns and have a Baker Mayfield-like performance or what have you?
Yeah.
And would they still go back to Russ because they may have, like, promised him the job or what have you?
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip. Honestly, I was joking that it doesn't matter, but I think the team is so built to win a certain way that I think they're going to have similar results with Fields and Wilson.
Let's get to our next guest, shall we? Trevor Sikma is the lead NFL draft analyst for PFF. But to be honest, Trevor, that's like one of the things you do. Yeah. I feel like you are basically everywhere. Thanks so much for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate you guys having me. It's an exciting time, and I'll be on any podcast I can at this point to get some talks from NFL football.
Yeah, Trevor, I was wondering.
I'm
looking at the PFF podcast schedule. Grade release show, Trent's breakdown, QB breakdown, rookie roundup, and NFL preview. Are you sleeping at all these days? What are we getting per night here?
You know, I'm trying to adopt the Sean McVay strategy where, you know, at one point you thought that sleep, you didn't need it. And then he said, what a stupid take that was. So I'm trying to get at least six, you know, we're trying to average like 6-ish hours of sleep a night. But it's exciting. Obviously, it's an honor to be on a lot of these shows and get to talk with a lot of really great co-hosts and around the league and everything. So it's an exciting time, even though the sleep is sort of at a premium around this time of year. You guys know that as well. It is exciting to be able to talk that much football.
Yeah, we just started talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Justin Fields is going to be a backup for week two as the starter because Russ isn't ready. You know, when Fields was coming out of college and then his years in Chicago, Trevor, as someone who primarily focused on the draft, are you surprised that it's been this sort of failure to launch with Fields, that he really has not delivered on the promise from Ohio State?
I am, honestly. He was so extremely talented coming out of Ohio State. And the thing is that I felt like Fields attacked the field down, I would say, like over the middle, especially way better at Ohio State than he did in the NFL. It's just not his game. Like, he just does not trust it. Even the passing charts that we saw yesterday with the Falcons, and I get it, sort of game one with a new team, whatever, but it was still the same thing in Chicago. Like, everything's outside the numbers. It's kind of short. He's not really attacking over the middle. And I get it, right? Attacking over the middle in the NFL is the most dangerous place where you could throw the football because of all the coverage defenders that could potentially be there. It's got to be split second stuff. You've got to be great with your anticipation. You got to have great touch on your passes as well. So I understand that the difficulty is a lot higher, but the best quarterbacks, the ones that are long-term starters in this league, can do that. They can attack over the middle of the field. And I felt like Fields did that at a higher level, at least deep down the field, with the Buckeyes than anything that we have seen at the NFL level. The rushing ability is obviously still there. We saw a couple of passes even this past weekend where the arm talent, the zip, the power, the velocity, like, it's there. He's still got a great arm to him. He's still very, very, very athletically gifted. He just has not been able to really put it all together and be a true full field threat when passing the football. And I thought we would get there eventually, and, you know, we just haven't.
Wait, so Trevor, if you had a choice right now, you're Pittsburgh, would you go Russell Wilson once he's healthy, or would you go stick with Fields?
Well, Russ also sort of struggles to throw middle of the field, right? And so, if I'm talking about even what I saw from Justin Fields this past week, although it wasn't dynamic, very clearly, like you guys are kind of joking around before, Mike Tomlin special, like they're cool to get the win, it doesn't really matter. I would stick with Fields at this point, but I also, I'm not at practice. I don't know any of that. I think a lot that goes a long way into it. But if I'm looking at what Russell Wilson was last year versus even sort of the ceiling of what I'm getting from potentially Justin Fields, I'm kind of the thought process that Mike Tomlin is right now, where he's like, hey, basically, unless Russ is 100%, or if Justin Fields does not play well at all, I'm kind of going to stick with this guy, especially because the team is winning. And that's also a Mike Tomlin staple, right? If he's going to sit here and preach winning is the only thing that matters, they just won with Justin Fields. And very clearly, Russ did not run away with this quarterback competition this summer. So if that's the case, if those guys were pretty even, if you didn't make the call till basically a couple of days before week one, just stick with the guy you'll win. Let Russ heal up, whatever, and then you can kind of keep that motto to the team as well, that winning is the most important thing.
Trevor Sikkema is with us. He's NFL lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus for PFF, but does so much more than that. You know, Trevor, I think a lot of people were surprised, maybe we're a little victim of our own expectations, that the Jets defense looked as bad as they did against San Francisco. San Francisco had the ball forever, but the pass rush really wasn't there. This is Robert Saleh's calling card. He should know Kyle Shanahan's offense better than anybody, considering they work together. Do you think this was a blip, or should people be concerned with the big expectations for Aaron Rodgers that the other side of the ball is not going to be able to hold up their end?
No, I'm not really worried about the Jets at all. You know, this line was at one point, you know, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5. I was pretty comfortable taking San Francisco basically at any point through there. And it's not really anything on the Jets. Just with this being game one, you're going to San Francisco. You're playing against a team that has all played together so much at a really high level. They've made playoff runs. They've gotten to Super Bowls. Like, a lot of these guys have just been around and playing together for a long, long time. And let's not forget, the Niners are top to bottom on paper, the best roster in the NFL. And they've got a quarterback now that's really in groove. They've got great coaches. And specifically, for you to have an offensive line in a run game that is somehow Christian McCaffrey proof, which is crazy to say. I mean, it just goes to show you how good this team is, how well coached they are, and how they have a vision for exactly how they want to go about things, and they're able to execute it. So I'm not really worried about the Jets. Now, of course, like the Hassan Reddick thing, you got to think about, because Bryce Huff's not there anymore and Hassan Reddick was supposed to take his place. But, you know, CJ Mosley, Quincy Williams, like those guys were still flying around at the linebacker level. Quinnen Williams was still playing well. The defensive front was fine. They just went up against an absolute beast in the 49ers, who, again, I had full confidence was going to outscore the Jets basically no matter what in this game. Now, that's not to say that I don't think the Jets can bounce back and have a great season. I predicted them to at least get to the divisional round of the playoffs. So I think it's all going to come together. When you watch Rodgers, you could tell the mobility's kind of shot for him at this point, but he had some beautiful vintage Rodgers throws. And so the more that continues to get better and better, I think the defense will rebound. I don't think this is a unit that now we have to look at as, whoa, we thought they were going to be good. They've been good as of late. They're not going to be good anymore. That's not how I feel about the Jets. I think that defense will bounce back. They just went up against a really good team that is very familiar with each other as well.
All right, Trevor, I don't know what your expectations were for Caleb Williams. I don't even want to know the PFF grade on week one.
oh, boy.
I know the Bears got the win, but were you disappointed in Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick's debut?
Well, I'll tell you if you want to know. PFF passing grade, 50.2 is what Caleb Williams got this past week.
Out of how many?
what was he ranked? He was ranked 29th. Oh, no, hold on. There's a couple of players that just had like one pass there, so I need to filter those out. Where's Caleb? 24th in the NFL was Caleb Williams in his passing grade of 50.2. You know, when I look at Caleb, it's weird to say this because he had such a bad passing grade. He didn't pass for 100 yards. This was actually the perfect game that Caleb Williams needed, and I'll tell you why. Because there were a handful of throws that you watched in that game, off platform, footwork's all over the place, release is very unorthodox, whatever it is, where the ball did not get to the receiver the way that it needed to get there. And you could tell that these are very Lincoln Riley throws. Not that he's taught to do those things, but it was very much, I'm back at USC, I'm in Lincoln Riley's offense, I'm going to throw the ball 50, 55 times a game. It doesn't really matter. I'm just throwing it. I have to score a touchdown on this drive, because if not, we're going to lose this football game. We talked about that being a narrative and a mindset of Caleb Williams that he has to get out of in the NFL. You saw shades of that in week one, and I think it was you know, realistic to expect that you would see that in week one. But here's the thing. He played bad, and his team won the football game. So I think that Caleb had an opportunity to go to his locker after the game, take a deep breath, and realize, boy, I played like crap, and we won. I don't know if that's ever been something that's happened to him basically since high school. He's been the superhero of every team that he has been on. So in a way, this was actually the perfect start for Caleb Williams because he struggled in ways that you can easily get better. And yet his team won the football game. And I think the most important part of Caleb Williams is taking that over-aggressive superhero mentality that he felt like he had to have at USC and realize you don't have to do that at the NFL level. The competition level is a lot higher. These teams are a lot more even. So to me, it was not a good day from him overall individually, but it might have been the game that he needed the most to start his career.
Trevor, while you've got the quarterback rankings up, where did Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix land on this list?
Jaden was 28th overall in passing grade, 36.3, and then Bo Nix was just slightly ahead of him at a 41.8, 26th overall. So, you know, those two guys, all three rookie quarterbacks struggled, but in a way, I think there's things that you could build off with all of them. One, you look at Nick's performance and you say, hey, he threw the ball down the field. And look, he struggled doing it on throws of 10 yards or more. He was 2 for 11. All three of his turnover-worthy plays came when he tried to push the ball deep down the field. But he learned, right? You don't draft Bo Nix in the first round thinking that he's a perfect prospect. The reason why they drafted him in the first round is because they believed in how coachable he was and how much he improved when he was in Auburn, going to Oregon. He was going to need that jump again, but they had faith in the kind of worker that he was and how he processed the game and how hopefully he wouldn't be making mistakes, you know, twice or three times or whatever it's going to be throughout a rookie season, that he would get better. So I like the fact that he tested a really good and talented Seattle Seahawks defense and that he failed. So now he gets to see those on tape and go, yeah, I can't do that stuff. I can't do that. I can't do that in this league. And then to Jaden Daniels, it's tough, right? You're going up against a defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, who's been around this league a long, long time. And Bowles pressured him quite a bit. Jaden was pressured the 11th most on 14 dropbacks that we had in week one. And obviously did not have a good passing grade when taking the blitz. Only 13 passing yards in those situations. And Bowles basically said, hey, their O-line wasn't that good last year. We're going to throw everything at him. And if Jaden can beat us there, okay, then we'll adjust. He never really did. And I loved his rushing ability. I love what he showed there. I wondered if his speed at the college level was still going to look like it was a step faster than everybody else in the NFL. It did. So I think that that's going to be a major part of his game moving forward. But there's no doubt we've still got some things to iron out with Jaden Daniels when it comes to getting to his next read, you know, not necessarily tucking and running it after the first read is closed, adjusting to that pressure and really putting pressure in reverse on defenses when they start to get over aggressive with him. I think he's got the talent to do it, but he just learned some lessons this past weekend, as did their offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury.
I disagree with your PFF grade. I mean, there were so many yards taken away by the officials going hog wild on that Commanders, whatever. And he was 17 for 24 for 184 yards. That's not, but you know, you're right. He did miss some things. Hey, I have a question. We're here in New York. Everyone's talking about next quarterback. there's a lot of
just the Giants fans.
Be bad for Beck. You know, quit for Quinn. Do you have an early read on this quarterback class? Are there the kind of quarterbacks that bad NFL teams can get excited about?
There's a lot of quarterbacks in this class that are still sort of sorting that out, if you will. I think that Carson Beck's got a pretty high floor as a starter in this league. Now, is he somebody that you're just jumping for joy that you got the number one overall pick for? No, that has not come to fruition yet, but he played a lot better as the year went on last year as a first-time starter, and he's starting off really solid this year, so we'll see if we get to see a little bit more from him. Quinn's playing well. I mean, you brought up Quinn Ewers. His progression from last year to this year, I've been very impressed with. Last year, a lot of people kind of talked about him and the arm talent, but his pocket management was not good. How he was even attacking deep down the field with that big arm was not accurate, was not consistent. The ball placement was not there. He is so much more calm as a passer to get the most out of that arm talent now this year. I'm excited to continue to watch it there. Shedeur Sanders, you know, whether Deion says that the New York Giants are right for his son or not, I think that that's obviously something that you got to think about. He had an elite first week in college football, did not have a great week this past week. So we'll just see what his stock is like when the season is over. But, you know, there's a handful of other quarterbacks. You know, what Cam Ward is doing at Miami has been incredible. Back-to-back elite PFF passing grades, the two highest single game grades of his career. One of them was in Florida, which is, you know, a tough place to play, even though the defense was not up to par from what we think the Florida Gators can be. But still, you got to give him credit for how he's playing. I think that he's on the rise. Jalen Milroe at Alabama, what he does as a dual threat type of a quarterback. I think that certainly you look at how the league has gravitated towards those guys over the years, and you wonder how far his stock can climb. There's a lot of names, I would say, in this quarterback class. The depth of the names to get excited or even just intrigued about is numerous in this class, and it'll be fascinating to see who sort of separates themselves and how high the top guy on that list is actually regarded when it comes to the rest of the big board.
Trevor, is USC's Miller Moss on this watch list?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I watched him, and I watched this game that they played against LSU, and he was excellent. Obviously, everybody sees the over 300 yards, but five big-time throws. And what I love so much about Miller Moss and those five big-time throws, two of them were very high difficulty, middle of the field seam throws that he had to layer with touch right behind, right in front of the linebacker and right in front of the safety as well. Like, those are veteran throws that this dude was throwing out there. And we, you know, the broadcast obviously talked about him sitting behind Caleb Williams for two straight years. And I was so impressed with the confidence in which he played. Now, he's a little bit smaller, you know, in weight and in height. He's not going to have these crazy measurables, but I mean, shoot, we're seeing with Brock Purdy right now with the San Francisco 49ers. If you can be confident and accurate with the football, you can win in the NFL, even if you are not as physically gifted as maybe some of these other quarterbacks are. So I think that he is very, very intriguing and somebody that I was impressed with early on.
Trevor, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. We know it's a busy time of year. Trevor Sikkema, the lead NFL draft analyst for PFF, but obviously does a lot more than just that. Trevor, thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Appreciate you. Would you like some poll results?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Did you want to say something else?
No. By the way, you know, Trevor is like the one diehard Bucks fan in my life. We didn't let him brag about their opening week. He's like the
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. He's the only Bucks fan that most of us know, and he's feeling great right now.
Got a couple for you in terms of poll results. Tim Tebow's taking the lead.
I mean, I told you Tebow was going to win this poll, of course.
What was the question?
Doesn't matter. Tebow is always going to win the poll.
The question was, who is the NFL's greatest one-hit wonder? So congratulations, Nico. Tim Tebow is slightly edging out Icky Woods, Bogus's nominee. Josh Gordon, Rex Grossman, Perloff and I's selections, bringing up the rear. EJ said Peyton Hillis. That was another good one. But we don't have enough spaces.
I mean,
and Nick said David Tyree.
It's not really fair to put Tim Tebow in a poll. We should have left that out.
Well, I was going to say, the way you set the bar with this, now it's like a disappointment if Tebow doesn't win.
Yeah,
we're used to that.
Icky's pretty famous, too.
And just the NFL.
The name Icky. Like, if we are doing this great debate about who wins the poll, you could pretty much answer Tim Tebow for any question we have. Greatest left-handed quarterback, greatest college quarterback of all time, most inspirational player of all time. Tebow's quite popular.
I got another poll question for you, and it has to do with Deion and Shador. We'll give you the results to that on the other side. You're welcome to weigh in on the greatest NFL one-hit wonders, 855-212-4227. That's how you get involved with the show.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. There are multiple polls up. I'm very disappointed. I've been winning the Great Debate poll every week because I've been going with the easy choice. Bo Jackson dominated for me last week. I should have gone with him again this week.
We're doing a one-hit wonder, though.
And still, you put Bo Jackson in a poll. Everyone loves Bo Jackson.
They don't even read what the question is.
And
they
by
just
way,
vote.
Bo Jackson had a one-hit wonder vibe. I know he had.
It was injuries, though. That was different.
It definitely
didn't we
was.
Say that was kind of a different category.
But actually, I had to pull up his stats. I'm like, wow, did Bo just have one season? He really had two seasons. But it was hard to tell because he was going back and forth with baseball. And I don't know, he could have been a one-hit wonder in baseball as well. Bo Jackson, you can't go wrong. You put Tim Tebow in a poll, Bo Jackson in a poll. People are clicking yes because they love those guys. But our one-hit wonder, you can call us 855-212-4227. Who is the best one-hit wonder in the NFL?
And Tebow is winning that poll.
Tebow is winning that poll. You know, I'm getting a lot of couple notes from friends saying Timmy Smith should win this poll.
Tim, we had a call about Timmy Smith.
But we got to get the rules down. I thought we were doing season, but one-hit wonders, I think David Tyree and Timmy Smith for Super Bowl moments, those to me are the ultimate one-hit Super Bowl wonders.
Yeah, so we also kind of veered into a coaching conversation where they're one-hit wonders when it comes to coaching. And our very own Pete Bilotti was weighing in via text message. Pete, who's now doing overnights as the executive producer for Amy Lawrence, said Tony Sperano.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. He had just the Wildcat, and that's it. He did take advantage of that 1 year with the Wildcat when he was the coach of Miami Dolphins. And then Pete also said Bill Callahan, which is someone who EJ brought up as well.
Yep, hard to argue with those guys.
Bogus just came in and sat down. Did you see that Pete weighed in on our great debate? He can't quit us.
Who?
The man who shall not be named? No, Pete Bilotti.
Oh, yeah. I see him as he's a vision. Streaking out of the building at 6:02 every morning.
Why would he hang around?
Yeah, he's gone. Maybe never seen him move so fast.
Maybe he will. He's picked up like his 40 time has dropped since he took the overnight.
It used to be NA, not available. Now he actually has a 40 time now.
Maybe he should stick around just on Wednesdays and we can do the great debate at like 6:02 Eastern just so Pete can get in on it.
6:05 end time.
855-212-4227. The greatest one-hit wonders in the history of the NFL. Quickly, Mike in California wants to talk about the Waffle House Challenge, which, I mean, I lost, Mike, fair and square. Yeah, what do you have anything to make me feel better?
Not to make you feel better, but maybe it'll help.
Okay.
How much time do you have before this is going to start?
TBD, Perloff still has to drive to San Antonio. We got to do these things in order. You know, we live in a society here, a polite one. And the bets have to be paid off in the order that they were, you know, in
lost.
Like in a specific time. So Perloff's drive to San Antonio comes first, and then I will go to the Waffle House.
Yeah, we're targeting mid-October for that. There are some logistics that are proving to be challenging, as they are with a 30-hour drive.
I know. And it's funny because we did think it through, and we still got a few snags, but it's happening. I know the chat is like, this is never going to happen. Guys,
They said the drive's never going to happen?
They're on this thing. Like, the weedos and the coffee drinkers are like, this is never going to happen. I ask you, loyal chat, have we ever steered you wrong? Everything we've said we're going to do, except for Phil's jersey, the Randall Cunningham jersey, which we couldn't get signed. But to be fair, like, that really depends on Randall Cunningham, who we have no control over whatsoever. Well, when it's stuff we control, Mike, we do it.
I know, but you kind of set a precedent with the duck costume. Because you made the duck costume bet, you lost the duck costume bet, and you were in a duck costume within like a month.
Right.
So you set the precedent way back then that these things would be paid off in a timely manner, not, you know, a year later. But, right. You know, whatever.
You know, but the duck costume on Amazon cost me like $25 and got here like next day. But right. A little different than Perloff's drive to San Antonio. But I agree, but we will do it. Perloff is doing it. He wants to do it.
Well, the extra time could help you.
Oh,
here's
okay.
What I was going to tell you.
Yeah,
tell me.
For many years, I dated a girl. We were together for quite a while, and she was an amateur bodybuilder. Did physique in the bikini competitions. And what you're going to want to do is
flex.
Put yourself, build up to a point to where prior to doing this eating thing, you're able to put yourself into a state of what they call sustained ketosis.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
And basically it's where you've completely cut carbs out of your diet for a prolonged period of time. And then up until about the day beforehand, you basically don't starve yourself. You eat other stuff, but very minimal amounts for like a week. And then the day before you do it, you don't drink any water either, very minimal water. So you almost dehydrate yourself. And it'll put you in this state of ketosis. When you start eating and start drinking water again, your body shuts off all the things it says to stop because it feels so depleted that it wants you to rebuild all those storages. And you would walk into the IHOPs and the Paneras and everything around these bodybuilding competitions and you see these people just devouring food for hours straight.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you could, you might want to get with a trainer to do it, but if you, and it's not healthy to do all the time. But if you can put yourself in that state of sustained ketosis for a couple of days prior to, you should be able to knock out. I mean, my ex was maybe 125 pounds, 5 foot four, and I watched her devour a 12 stack of pancakes, eggs, an omelet, a couple of muffins, and a big thing of hash browns because she was craving hash browns, and she did that like in an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. Okay, sounds a little extreme. Not going to lie,
yeah.
a little extreme for me. But, you know, Mike, can I ask you another question just because I'm kind of curious and not to get too personal. Where did you meet this woman? Like an amateur bodybuilder? Did you guys meet online? Like, how did you meet her?
No, we worked together and she wasn't doing that at the time.
Oh, okay. I got it.
She had something she got into after we were together for a while and she was like, I want to give this a try. I said, well, go for it. So I did all of her meal prep. I did all the cooking for her, obviously, but I did all of her meal prep. We used to do a lot of, what do they call it? The macro counting. So I would do macro dieting for her for long periods of time, and basically we'd watch pretty much everything she took in, carbs, proteins, sugars, fats, and kind of monitored everything. And as when she would get closer during the competitions, usually the week leading up to the competition is when the dieting was the most, you know, most intense.
Yeah.
Like and
a
then,
relationship
like I said, the week
and a part-time job is a lot.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, it took a good to balance out our diets and to do all the cooking and prep for the meal for the week. It would be most of my Sunday afternoons after football.
Hey, why'd you guys break up?
Hey, oh my God,
she was mean.
She was mean.
Yeah, she was
starving.
after so many years of me going to school and everything else, all total dynamic shifts after I got through with law school. And it just didn't work. We're still really good friends, but it just did not work as far as being in a relationship together anymore.
Got it. Mike, you're a good partner, though. I mean, sacrificing a lot of your time to try to make sure that she can get on, you know, certain meal preps and plans. We've gone way too far into your personal life. Sorry about that.
I mean, maybe she should call in. We've got to hear her side, though, Maggie, because...
Can we get a debate moderator?
I could do like the next night. Half hour of the show on Mike's relationship life. This is fascinating.
No.
No, Mike, thank you for this. It sounds a little extreme. Like, I don't know if I would do it, but it's a great thing to think about. Sustained ketosis. I've written it down. I'll do my own research, as Aaron Rodgers likes to say, and I'll give it a shot. Thank you.
Yep. Never mind. Good luck. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Mike had an A-Rod girlfriend, a bodybuilder. That's what...
Oh, Alex Rodriguez. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's currently dating a bodybuilder, too.
Yeah, he's all his girlfriends, except for J-Lo, all looked exactly the same. Speaking of us owing people things, Phil in Pennsylvania is on the horn. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Maggie. I actually took your advice, and I downloaded the Odyssey app, and I've been listening to you guys, not live, but, you know, I've been listening to every episode since I downloaded it, so thank you for the recommendation.
I'm glad to hear we did not pay you to say this or anything, Phil. It's a good listening experience. It's really clear and easy to use.
Yep, and it's on my time.
Perfect. What do you have for us this morning?
The show bit.
Yeah.
I said something about maybe Perloff getting me, you know, Eagles tickets.
Oh,
and
right.
And giving me the jersey in person.
You're right to call and follow up on that. Suddenly Perloff's mic is not working.
Yeah, something's...
Oh, of course.
The headphones are not working.
oh, my goodness. Well, actually, I was supposed to go to a game last year with my best friend, but he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was really sick that morning, so we couldn't go.
Oh, no.
So I was thinking maybe I could bring him along. Perloff can get 3 tickets, and my best friend could pay him for his ticket.
Wait, why do I owe you all these tickets again?
Because
go backwards.
We have to wait. Hold on one sec. We have your Randall Cunningham jersey. We tried to get it signed. We haven't been able to run into Randall Cunningham yet. Well, geez, I mean, Phil, we feel terrible that your friend got diagnosed with cancer. How's he doing?
He's in remission and he is all good. So that's why we're playing on a game this year.
Oh, I love that. Okay, great. Well, you know, send along our best wishes to him first and foremost, and then let's see what we can do here because let's see. We know some people in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to have to pay for these tickets. I'm curious.
You might not have to.
Phil.
We know people.
I would like Perloff to be there. That way he can give back my Randall jersey.
Well, I can't. If I'm buying you and your friend a ticket, I can't afford. Like, I'm not going to take free tickets from my friends on the Eagles. Like, I would not do that. I always offer to pay. I don't know. I think you have a choice. It's me or your friend. Who would you rather go with, Phil?
Sheesh.
Oh, wow. Jeez. That's really tough. I mean, that's not a good look for you, having me choosing my, you know, survivor friend and my
I know. That's where we're going here, Phil. Now I want to put it back on you.
I can't.
I mean, don't pick Perloff. It's easy. Next.
Definitely go with your friend. Phil, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. Can't promise anything, but we'll see what we can do.
Wait, I thought this was on me. So you're going to pay for half these tickets now, Meg?
No, I'll look into it. We'll see.
We will figure something out. I'm very, you know, I have lots of, you know, patience. So we will figure something out.
That is true, Phil. You are very patient because that Randall Cunningham jersey's been sitting in our office for like a year. Thank you, Phil. You don't be a stranger. You know our number. What are we doing?
What is he doing?
What are you getting?
The guy survived cancer, and you're like, I don't know. You have to choose me or him. He's definitely choosing him.
Like, meanwhile, you're like, we'll see. You basically just promised him tickets on
air. I said, let's make a couple of phone calls.
Couple of phone calls.
The least we could do. And royal we.
Wait, what do you mean we? I don't even remember what I owe Phil here. And maybe, did I lose a bet?
You did. Phil gave you the Randall Cunningham jersey.
Right. So
thought we could get it signed by Randall, but he didn't end up being at the Super Bowl.
I admit we failed on that front. But if I mail him back the Randall Cunningham jersey, is the slate clean?
Well, he said he wants to go to a game with you.
Him saying that, like, do I owe him that?
I don't know, but Phil's a good dude.
Just because he says he wants to go to a game with me, which I don't even think he really does. I think he wants to take his friend, which I don't blame him for.
Yeah.
Just because he says he wants to, that doesn't mean I owe him that.
One thing about Perloff going to games, you are a last-minute game attendee.
What do you mean?
I feel like every time you go to an Eagles game, it's always like, hey, I just happened to get a ticket. I'm just going this morning. Like I don't think you plan them out necessarily. Oh. It seems like it's always a last-minute thing. Like a ticket comes through and you're like, all right, I'll just hit the highway.
Yeah, because I have a friend on the team and sometimes tickets come through, but like I don't want to abuse
that.
It's never
like weeks ahead of time.
If I ask for tickets for Phil and his friend, then those last minute Cowboys tickets are not going to come through this year. That's how it works. You know how it's a favor industry. Am I going to use up a favor?
Well, you got the sweet Randall Cunningham jersey.
Well, actually, no. I've been holding on to that to try and get it signed. I think I should bite the bullet and buy Phil and his friend tickets, and the question is, when I call for these tickets, do I mention that his friend is recovering from cancer? Do I throw that out there?
Well, it's a happy time. He's in remission. He's beaten it, so I think so.
I don't know how I got pinned into this.
Yeah, and if I may speak directly to Phil, I've been to a game with Perloff. It was a 10U baseball game. It ended, and it wasn't that fun, and then it ended with him making fun of a loved one of mine. So if you go to an Eagles game with Perloff, it's probably not going to be fun. And then he's going to make fun of your friend probably. So that's what you're signing up for if you want to go to an Eagles game with
him. I mean, fair warning. Yeah. If Perloff will make fun of a 10-year-old, I mean, really anyone's on the table.
On the table.
How about this?
Your equal opportunity.
Yeah.
How about this? Here's what we'll do. I will get Phil two tickets for him and his friend, and I will go on the same day. And then, because I will be close to the field and he'll be at the highest seats possible, we can meet at halftime in the near the concessions.
Wow, how generous of you. You basically got him a seat at the Xfinity across the street.
Oh, that's hard to get, too. That ain't cheap.
I can do the watch party for you. That's all I got.
Yeah, it's like, where's the team? Well, they're actually in Germany, but you can go to the stadium. I'm sorry, they already did their abroad game.
Don't make them go to Germany, too. No, I'd love to go to a game with Phil. It's just, you know, tickets are, the Eagles are 1-0. This is not going to be cheap. This is going to cost me.
We have friends at WIP, right? Hit up Spike.
Oh, great.
Yeah, after he just called him out fake baseball fan. This is not the day.
It's so easy. I mean, this isn't Mets tickets. Like, they're not being given away like charity cases. Also, this is the Eagles tickets we're talking about.
I don't know if you know this, but our pal Andrew Kaplan, who has control over everything we say and can disseminate it out to the world in whichever way he and EJ see fit, close relationship with Spike.
I got to say one thing, too, by the way.
in the panic and fear just came over Perloff's
No, thing. Odyssey, like, you think that's an easy ticket to get an Eagles ticket? Like, they have a booth there. Like, Phil's not getting in with the president of Odyssey Incorporated into the
that one
Odyssey
might be tough.
Booth. Yeah, like that. That is might be a little.
Let us
tough
introduce
to
you to the board. This is Phil in Pennsylvania.
Where
in Pennsylvania? Not sure. Big Randall Cunningham fan though.
When Phil wanders into the booth with like a bunch of like high level salespeople, people will be like, "And who are you?" Well, you see, I bet Perloff. Who?
It's a long story.
It's a long story. It was a Randall Cunningham jersey. They couldn't get Randall to sign it. And honestly, the security would be called in about 8 seconds. Even with a ticket, they would kick him out.
The funny part about this, many funny parts, but the idea that when Phil was like, can you get this signed by Randall Cunningham? We were like, sure. I've never met Randall Cunningham. I've never interviewed Randall Cunningham. I've never been in the same zip code as Randall Cunningham. I guess we thought he'd be at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas,
right?
But we were doing the show from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.
I don't remember ever seeing him wandering around a Super Bowl media row either.
No, I've never encountered Randall Cunningham.
And just for the record, you didn't say to Phil, I'm going to get this signed or do something nice for you.
Like, no, but I think I did lose a bet and there's some other stakes at it. It's so long ago. This thing has had many layers, which... In about 7 weeks, Phil will be explaining to Odyssey Incorporated CEO David Feld. So
it's Field. Cut that out of the pod. Perloff.
I have no idea. By the way, and I got to tell you,
important.
I did ask why. I once asked Spike, I'm like, oh, I want to go to this Eagles game. And he's like, yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, that was a line he fed to you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know, but like, they have a fancy box there. That is high demand. The Eagles games are tough. And again, tickets are crazy expensive right now because they look pretty good in week one.
Well, a couple bad snaps, he'll be playing center for the team.
By the way, if they lose this week, then it'll be a lot easier. They might have root against the Eagles.
If you let the Falcons come in and beat you, that's not going to be good. Bogish, let's pause on the headlines. We'll do them after this break because we have run ourselves right out of time. So we got headlines for you on the other side. We have a poll update on Deion Sanders. What was the question? We'll tell you after this. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Our great debate today is the greatest NFL one-hit wonders of all time, Pearl. And I got another good one. This is from Terry, sent Matt Flynn.
Yeah. I mean, it was one game? Or was it?
It was 1 month. It was like 4 weeks.
Yeah, did he? He topped
$30 million off of that.
Yeah, didn't get the starting job in Seattle.
You know, one day we should do the greatest, as our pal Andrew Brandt calls them, like business of sports Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
like the guys who get paid to do nothing. Matt Flynn.
We were looking for a coach. We were looking for a coach. By the way, I got one in process. Nick Sirianni's got a bit of a one-hit wonder vibe. We'll see where it goes from here. But would you be surprised if we look back and like, how did that guy get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think Doug Peterson might have a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
Now, Doug did make multiple trips to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Sirianni got back to the playoffs, but it was sort of.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knew you guys were losing that game in Tampa.
Yeah.
Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. By the way, let me just do a quick, after you're done, Boog, I'll update the Deion Sanders poll. The question was... standby. The question was, is Deion Sanders helping or hurting Shedeur Sanders' NFL draft prospects? Give you the results of that after this. What's up?
I don't know about you guys, but I think there are already too many teams in the NBA. There are too many guys at the end of rosters that I didn't know existed. But there was Adam Silver talking yesterday about expansion.
I know I've said this before. I think over time organizations should grow. It is appropriate. But it gets a bit complicated in terms of selling equity in the league, what that means for the existing television relationships, et cetera. And what we've told interested parties is, thank you for your interest. We'll be back to you.
So expansion not on the agenda this week for Board of Governors meetings, but Silver assumes it'll pick up during the coming season. Seattle and Vegas come up the most during this conversation.
I mean, just hand it to LeBron. He's going to get the team, or he'll be like the figurehead of the team once he retires.
EJ, what do you think?
Yeah, no, by the way, I could not disagree more with Bogish about the expansion being a bad idea. Like, we saw during the COVID year, there were guys who were literally on the street coming in, getting triple doubles. We saw guys in FIBA, Yabusele coming in, dominating Team USA in the first half. Like, there are a lot of good players, not just sitting on NBA benches, but just also playing all over the world. I think the NBA actually does need to expand. I think there are too many good players in the league right now.
But are those international guys being turned away from here, or are they, some of them are just choosing not to be in this league?
Well, a guy like Evan Fournier, and I'm not his biggest fan, but it's choosing because he doesn't want to be a bench warmer on a like a god-awful team, which is his only option in the NBA. In theory, if you have expansion, there's a better chance that maybe a guy that can play on a somewhat decent team, or again, a Yabusele guy who's someone they gave up on, maybe another team would give him a chance because they say, well, okay, he didn't work out with the Celtics. Maybe he'll work out with us.
Yeah.
Like now he goes and plays for FIBA. You're like, wait a minute, the French Ben Wallace can shoot threes? Maybe we should bring this guy on a team. And then all of a sudden he's signed after the FIBA tournament. So I think that actually this is the perfect time for expansion in the NBA.
You would not believe how many times I'm walking down the street thinking, what is Evan Fournier doing today? I have not seen that guy play enough basketball.
That's
in my
a
life.
Business Hall of Famer, right? Does he have two big contracts?
Facts.
Yeah, definitely. Knicks gave him a big bag. What else is up? Yes.
Nick Batum is the Sixers' best player by the end of the season. He can't even make it. Seattle needs a team back. We all
they
agree.
Do.
They're
yes.
the coolest team in the last 30 years. I love the Sonics. I'm a fan already.
I'm wearing Sonic shorts today, by the way. Seattle throwbacks. I can't show them, but
you can't even stand up still.
No, I can, but I don't think the camera angle. Okay, this is gonna get weird. I'm gonna try.
This could be embarrassing. By
oh,
the way,
no. Oh, that's a good sign, EJ.
This hurts.
Oh,
those go. Ones.
Good mobility Seriously. On that knee, dude.
Yeah, wow. This is the injured knee too. So this shows you why I'll be back on Monday.
There we go.
Can't wait.
So now these are the. Like the Peyton, like 97 yeah. finals yes. teams with the red and yellow, not the real Sonics shorts.
Yeah, this is the 96 team.
Hershey Hawkins.
Yeah, Hershey Hawkins, Detlef Schrempf, Nate McMillan, fun team.
Yeah, I mean that was really one of the cities that should not have lost a team. That was a bummer.
What else we got?
You guys mentioned this at the very top of the show. The Niners saying Christian McCaffrey is day-to-day after missing Monday night's opener. Other reports say he is a long shot to play this weekend. Either way, the real headline from yesterday is Kyle Shanahan saying CMC's Achilles is the bigger problem now, not the calf injury that he suffered over the summer during training camp. And U.S. men's soccer finally officially announced new head coach Mauricio Pochettino last night. Then they played to a 1-1 draw with New Zealand in a friendly in Cincinnati. The tying goal given up on a deflection past American keeper Matt Turner late in that one. All right, guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogish. So the poll results on our is Deion Sanders helping or hurting his son Shador's NFL draft prospects? Hurting is leading 83%. You guys, let us know what you think about that. Hurting. See, I don't think it's that much of a landslide. I think people are just piling on Deion now because it's easy. Because they are losing.
Well, teams hate parents. Like, that's famous, right? So you don't want a parent who has the full attention of the media at all times.
Yeah, but I think people hate parents, like, who they think have no idea what they're talking about.
No.
Deion might actually know, because Archie Manning kind of steered Eli to New York, and I don't think people blame Archie.
No, but I generally think, like, a coach does not want to deal with a very visible, angry parent. Like, Donovan McNabb's parents were a bit of a problem. I don't know. And I'm thinking more college and high school. Like, coaches hate parents. Because,
well, the college coaches definitely do.
By the way, I was doing some research on Eagles tickets. I think I might... Standing room only for the Jags game. There are two tickets in standing room only. I mean, it is precious to get an Eagles tickets. $161 each. And I'm looking
That's
at
a lot for a stand.
I mean, you are a half a mile. You might as well be in New Jersey. This ticket is so far away.
It might be.
I mean, it might cross the state line and still look over. I didn't know they did standing room only for NFL games. But
the Cowboys Stadium, there's a lot of standing room there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the field level, no? Like, close to it.
Well, that's different. Standing room, no, these are standing room only, like, this is...
No, it's a get in the building. Right, and then are you in like an area, like a crowd?
You mean that like
area?
Field level when they come in on the TV on the Cowboys, and like that's like expensive.
No, those are expensive. I think there's another not that close,
somewhere?
But a little bit further.
Yeah, this is a bird's eye view, as they say.
You always want to see top down. Yes.
First and only time I was ever at that stadium was 2 years ago for the Giants Eagles playoff game. Never again.
Were you wearing Giants stuff
for life?
Oh no! I mean,
what
you probably
happened?
Can't say what they. With the fans.
Right. I just got a lot of mean things said to me. Just so me and my buddy purposely went on a walk We did a whole lap around the concourse like 45 minutes before the game
to take in all the abuse.
Couldn't even walk like five steps without someone saying something.
Did anyone throw anything at you?
No, but I'm just like too nice to like respond. So I just like keep putting my head down and was walking straight. And then the Giants got killed and it just made it even worse.
Did you go with a big guy?
No, he was my size too. So.
Oh boy.
Were you wearing a Mark Bavaro jersey?
No, Lawrence Taylor.
Too nice or was that self-preservation, Nico?
A little bit of both.
You live to tell about it. The Giants, I don't know if they actually lived through that game. That's pretty bad. Thank you, Nico. Thank you to Nick. Nico and Nick, thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Andrew Bogish. Thank you, Andrew Kaplan. Widow's Coffee Drinkers, you guys are the best. Thank you to Bud Elliott, Trevor Sikkema, and we will see you tomorrow.